The same way that on a pizza tour, I want you to understand what's going on in the life of the owner and of the pizza maker. That's as important as the food, because you don't go to a restaurant to eat. You go to a restaurant to feel good.
What's up, Zach Oates here, author, entrepreneur, and customer relationship guru. Welcome to Give an Ovation, growth strategies for restaurants and retailers, where we find industry leaders to share their secrets to grow your business. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, the actionable guest feedback tool that works on or off premise and is easy, real time, and actually drives revenue. Learn more at ovationup.com. Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation. I am joined today by Scott Wiener. He is a monthly columnist for Pizza Today magazine. He's the founder and board chair of the nonprofit organization Slice Out Hunger, which is super cool. Excited to share with you about that. He's the owner of Scott's Pizza Tours in New York City, showing people the best pizza that the best city has to offer, in my humble opinion, being that I'm from Jersey. But, you know, what am I going to brag about? Newark? I mean, come on. Anyway, neither here nor there, but he has the Guinness Book of World Records, actually, for the largest collection of pizza boxes. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Wiener. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
It is truly a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So first of all, tell me about, quick shout out to Bruce Irving. He posted about you. I've seen you around for a long time. And I'm so glad that we're finally able to connect and that he mentioned you. Obviously he loves what you're doing. We love what Bruce is doing. So glad that we can make this triangle happen here. So first of all, talk to us about Slice Out Hunger and Scott's Pizza Tours. What are you doing? How are things been these last few months?
Wow. It's certainly the loaded question to launch things off. These last few months have been interesting. It's felt exactly like it did in the beginning when I started in 2008, with this sort of throw anything at the wall, see what sticks. You know, we've got nothing to lose kind of vibe. It feels like a total startup vibe right now. Even though I've been in business for 12 years, it's a good reminder of like, don't fall asleep at the wheel. Anything can happen. Let's figure things out. And that's, I'm talking about in Slice Out Hunger and in Scott's Pizza Tours, and even in a new venture that I'm starting in the middle of all this.
Oh my gosh. Wait, so talk to us about Slice Out Hunger. Really cool group. You're one of the founders of it. You're the founder of Slice Out Hunger. So talk to us about what do you do with Slice Out Hunger?
So Slice Out Hunger is we do pizza themed events and campaigns that raise money and awareness for the hunger relief organizations all around the United States. So what that means is that we will coordinate and produce some kind of like a specialty pizza of the month, and participating pizzerias will donate $1 per pizza to our organization, which then essentially donates that money out to hunger relief organizations around the country. So we've done all these different campaigns over the past 10 or 11 years. The current thing that we're doing that started up at the end of March with the pandemic is this thing called Pizza Versus Pandemic, where we get donations through our website, and then we use those donations to purchase pizza from independent pizzerias to be delivered to healthcare workers all across the country. Actually, we just recently, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, delivered to our 50th state. We've now delivered all states. And guess what was our final state to get a pizza delivery? Utah.
Utah? No way. Yep.
Took us a long time, but Utah finally got a delivery from
us. You know what? We're a little behind the curve on a few things, hairstyles, you know, pizza, apparently. So that is really cool. So I just actually did a podcast with Wing Lam of Wahoo's Fish Tacos, and they're doing something similar, but more in LA County. And then Scott Porter of San Diablo Churros was doing free churros for healthcare workers. Love what you're doing, man. I think that it is so important to say thank you. And what better way to say thank you than pizza, right? I mean,
totally.
Man.
And the whole thing of how cool is it to see small restaurants doing this kind of thing, like a give back at a time when those restaurants are hurting. And that's why, you know, we're not a restaurant. Slice Out Hunger is a nonprofit organization. We're not a restaurant. And so our goal is not, and our mission is not just to support healthcare workers, it's to support those small businesses that are themselves hurting. So what we do with this is take in money and then we buy the food. We're not asking restaurants to donate food. No restaurant has to participate. We just buy their food. And instead of saying, deliver it to me in Brooklyn, we say, deliver it to this person in Salt Lake City, which is a hospital. Cool.
So it's like you know, buying Starbucks for the person behind you in line type thing. Yeah.
Same exact kind of thing.
Do you know the name Werner Lomker? He owns the Domino's Empire up in Canada, and he has the Guinness World Records for most amount of pizzas made in an hour that he set during the pandemic. And he took all those pizzas and donated them to frontline workers. Right.
That's so awesome.
I just think that doing stuff like this, Scott, I appreciate you getting out there and doing some good. Cause if you're not doing good, then like, what good are you doing? Right. I think that
that was powerful.
Boom. But I think that's really important, and just appreciate the work that you're doing there and organizing all of that, because again, there's so many people who want to do something. And when you have someone like you who's able to just coordinate and direct those efforts, you know, people are able to say, oh, okay, well, here's how I can help. So I think that's really cool.
It's so hard to, when this whole thing hit, everybody felt helpless, and all we knew is we had to stay at home, right? That's all we knew, is like, chill out, stay at home. Oh, we're gonna wear a mask now, or we gotta, you know, not touch things, we're not gonna order food. Everybody felt helpless. So this whole thing is like, you can do all of that, stay at home, be safe, and you can still help. You donate $100 and we can then purchase pizza from a small business and help that small business and healthcare workers. We've raised over $625,000.
No.
And we've spent almost all of it. So right now we're trying to, you know, the first big spikes that were happening in April brought in a lot of donations, but then we've spent all of it. Now we're trying to get some more donations to keep carrying on and help those, like New York is pretty well under control right now. There are other states that need a lot of help. And the sirens are going off
in the background, by the way.
Seriously.
New York's totally fine. Woo, woo, woo.
Well, fortunately, I mean, maybe unfortunately, it's Brooklyn. There's sirens all the time, you know.
That's just good timing there. So awesome. So that's Slice Out Hunger. And how long has that been a thing?
Slice Out Hunger unofficially started in 2009. We incorporated in 2015.
Are you guys like a 501c3?
We are.
Okay, good for you guys. Cool. Now tell me about Scott's Pizza Tours. Because, I mean, like, this is – I didn't know you existed, or else I would have, like, you know, that would have been, like, the one touristy thing I would have done in New York.
That's the beauty of it, is that it's like we don't get very many tourists. We get mostly people who are local. And then the few people who are tourists, they hear about it. They know about it. So then they show up. And this is kind of like – Bruce Irving is a pizza industry marketing guy, guru. And the reason I know him is not because I run a tour company. It's because I run a pizza education company. So Scott's Pizza Tours educates two different sets of people. Okay. We educate consumers about what's going on in the kitchens at pizzerias. So This way, when you go in, you don't just say, oh, that's burnt, that's soggy, this is weird, that's not really pizza. Instead, it's like, here's an education on the history and the background of everything that's going on. You show up at the tour knowing that you like something or don't like something. You leave the tour realizing that your whole world is changing, because the nuance of an oven and its heat totally change the color and texture of a pizza. That's why I say it's pizza education. It's not a tour company, because we do those tours. And you know, the second set that we do is, we do a lot of education for the people in the pizza industry about what their consumers want and expect. So that's why I'm like in the middle. I write a column for Pizza Today magazine, as you mentioned. I work a lot in the industry, speaking at trade shows, doing a lot of consulting work. And that's why it's funny. I'm in this weird position in the middle where professionals come and do this as a tour. And then the few tourists who show up not knowing the depth, they are like, oh, damn. This is different from what I thought I was getting into.
It's like not Napa Valley, like winery, except it's like a walking tour of pizza, huh?
Totally. Well, you know how it is when you go to the winery, it's not just sip it, do I like it or not? they're going to tell you what the goal is of the wine and what are the tasting notes and what to expect. And then you'll be like, oh, I get it. It's oaky because of this reason. I don't care if I like it or not. That's different. It's about education. You know,
yeah.
Education is very different from taste.
See, so
you don't teach somebody taste.
Yeah, right. Like I've never been to a winery, but I have been to a lot of chocolate tastings, and they do something very similar, right? Where it's like, here's a picture of the farmer's child in Madagascar, where they hand pick these using their feet, and like, you know, it tastes better when you get the story of it, you know.
I agree.
So that is really cool. And how did you start this? Did you just love? Were you looking for a way to always eat pizza, or like have this?
Bingo. I am totally pizza obsessed.
So you're like, you are Barb Kellner. Like, you know Barb Kellner, the pizza eater.
No, I don't know Barb Kellner. Who's
okay?
This?
I'm gonna post a link. This is Barb Kellner, the pizza eater. I'll send it over to you. Literally, you are describing the job that, like, it's my dream job. It's an SNL sketch about
Melissa McCarthy. Okay, yeah, I have seen that. I have seen that sketch. Yeah.
Okay, because
so. Yeah. When that sketch came out, probably like 150 people emailed it to me, and they're like, this is you. Well, because that's what I did was, 2008, when I started the company, April 2008, I was so into pizza already, and I had quit my job. I was doing audio for recording studios and just sound engineering. And I wasn't loving where I was working, so I quit the job, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I want to give myself a couple months just to like chill out, figure it out. In my mid-20s, I figured that's a crucial time. You can make a wrong decision and then wake up when you're in your mid-40s and realize that you've messed up. Or you can like make the right decision and try something weird. And I tried something weird. I was like, you know what? I love eating pizza. That's the one thing I can say about myself. I don't know if I'm an audio technician for life. I don't know if I'm a event organizer, which I was doing some of that work. I was like, I know is that I'm a pizza consumer and a pizza lover. How can I have a job that involves eating pizza all the time? And that's when this thing, like, do you write a blog or do you write a book? And I was like, nah, let's do a live action food show, which is a tour. Let's go to the places, eat the food, talk to the people. And I just started developing relationships with these pizzeria owners, explaining to them what I wanted to do. And then once they started letting me in, they started to notice when I gave a tour, the information that I gave was beyond anything that they ever expected. And it's not just, this is what flour they use and this is what tomato they use. Because they might be like, why the heck are you telling people all this? Instead, it was by using they use a high protein flour because at the turn of the last century, this was the type of wheat being milled in Buffalo, and the Buffalo milled wheat came down the East Coast, which is why the crust of New York pizza is different from the thin and deep crusts of Chicago. It's because of an ingredient availability question. And once they hear me say something like that, then they're like, oh, this is context. This is stuff that the waiter can't teach people who just want to eat the freaking pizza.
Yeah.
This is the thing that's missing. This is context. It's the thing that makes you appreciate the chocolate or the wine. Or whatever.
I mean, my wife does food tours in Park City, and you know, going to Park City, and you go and you have a little bit of all these different kinds of venues, and you get the history tour of Park City as well. And anyway, but yeah, it's one of those things where, to contextualize something that you're experiencing, it just makes it so much more memorable and meaningful. And I think that anyway, like I said, huge fan of what you're doing. Super stoked next time I go out to the city to go on Scott's pizza tour. And you got like a whole army of people doing tours. You got a whole bunch of Scots out there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of us. And my dream when I started was that I figured I would be the only one, and this is just going to be a little tiny boutique-y thing. And then I started meeting all these people who are really into pizza. And I just thought, man, how cool would it be to build up like a superhero team? You know, like the Avengers of pizza nerds. And let's get people who have different perspectives, not just people regurgitating what I say. So we got people who I disagree with on the subjective pizza stuff. But the thing that we teach on the tour is objectivity. It's understanding what is going on and letting you be a subjective human. So your opinion can never be wrong. If you're like, you come into the tour saying, I only like X, Y, Z, it's not our job to convince you otherwise. It's our job to teach you why that happens and how you can have more control over your own pizza consumption by eating things that you'll like, because pizza is very different from something like fruit. If you like peaches, then there's like ripe peaches and there are unripe peaches. And that's basically what you get. Most, mm-hmm. Or like bananas. There's only one banana being sold in America for the most part, the Cavendish banana. That's what you get.
Yeah.
With pizza, it's not one thing. It's a whole spectrum. And when people eat something expecting that they're going to have what they had at the chain pizzeria that they grew up with in Wyoming, if they expect that that's the same as the goal of the pizzeria in New York City, for instance, that's where they're getting context wrong. And yeah. Right now, this time in history, where people make flash judgments about songs and movies and celebrities, and we're leaving out all context because we see it in a 200 whatever character tweet. Context is so important. And if we can understand its importance in pizza, that should resonate in the rest of your brain and realize that context is important for everything.
So context in terms of pizza, what is, and this is like super loaded, and this is the question you get every single time. What am I about to ask you, Scott?
Oh, are you going to ask me like, what's the best pizza?
What's the best pizza for you? What's your favorite in New York?
Zach, I love this because you just said, what's the best pizza for you? Which is the great part of the question. That for you makes it a real good question. And what's the best pizza? Full stop. Bad question.
Yeah.
So you nailed it. The best pizza for me is one that is balanced, that is not all one way or the other. It's not sweet or acidic or bright or crunchy. I like duality of nature. I like,
it's the Mona Lisa of pizza, where like if you're happy, it looks happy. If you're sad, she looks sad, right?
Yeah, I like pizza to be crisp on the outside, but then tender on the inside. I like it to be foldable and flexible, but not soft. I like it to be a balance of tomato, cheese, etc., whatever else you have. I want sweet and salty to play the little game together so that when I'm eating this food, it's not just savory and it's not a dessert. It's really like a full complexion of flavor profile.
So you talking like a honey pepperoni, like stone fire pizza? Like, is that what I'm feeling?
I had one the other day. It was pickled jalapeno, pickled pineapple, tomato that was like a mixture of two American tomatoes. So it was a little bit sweet, and mozzarella, which mellowed it out, and then salami, a little thin salami.
Wow.
Love it. Love it. A little sweet, a little heat. Man, it's just like.
Do you ever do chain pizza?
I don't, but it's not like, oh, I don't eat that. It's more like, I live in New York. There's great pizza everywhere. I don't really need the chain pizza. And I make a lot of pizza at home. So there's never the night that I'm like, you know what? I'm too tired to cook. Let's just order a pizza. It never happens.
Yeah, but I mean that New York secret, Sbarro's, Michael Scott, he pointed me to that place. And life has never been the same. That little
favorite little place. Point.
That's awesome.
I love that. I love that. But I love that. Even that Michael Scott joke of this guy from northeastern Pennsylvania who goes like a couple hours away into New York City, and it's suddenly like the big thing where you can view even this chain that's like a shopping mall chain as like a little hidden secret, because it's not about what Sbarro's is for everybody else. It's what it is for Michael Scott. And that's why it's so legitimately special. Even if that was like a real human telling me that, like, oh, I love this place called Sbarro's, I would say, like, how cool is that, that you have that? Every pizzeria is somebody's favorite in the same way that every movie has its fans. Every song is somebody's favorite song. That's just a reality. You can just step back and let somebody love something, and maybe it's just not something that you understand fully. And that's how I feel about it.
So one thing I did want to know, though, so with everything that you're doing, Scott, what have you seen restaurants do in this pandemic that has you know, as they're adjusting to the new normal, what have you seen them do that's been successful?
There's a few things, and it's different in New York than it is anywhere else. So I'll say in New York, the thing that they're doing is just like every restaurant, they're doing like a little bit of outdoor seating. But beyond that, they're just trying to push ahead and offer the things that people want to buy, which is different from it was before, where you had like people coming into the city from outside, like tourism, and they're just showing up to buy the pizza anyway. Now things are a little bit different, where especially out in the suburbs, you're getting pizzerias that are carrying like pizza making kits, you know, home pizza making kits, which has been super cool. Offering people kind of a seat inside, metaphorically, without being able to physically let them inside. And toward the beginning of the pandemic, there were a lot of pizzerias that were doing live broadcasts on social media about how to make pizza at home, kind of like, here's what's going on in our kitchen, understand us as people more, like personalizing themselves, which is the thing that I think a lot of places were missing before. They thought that their food was front and center, and now they're realizing that they are front and center as personalities. Because how do you get people to support you? Really, it's getting people to understand you as a person. The same way that on a pizza tour, I want you to understand what's going on in the life of the owner and of the pizza maker. That's as important as the food, because you don't go to a restaurant to eat. You go to a restaurant to feel good. And hopefully you get there by the food. But
dude, I love that. Have you read Setting the Table?
Yeah, of course.
Right? It's all business like life is all about how you make people feel. And
yeah, that's why at a restaurant, they're not showing up there just because they don't want to cook. They're showing up there because if they're celebrating something, they want the night out. There's a feeling. That's why if you look at restaurant customers, they would rather go back to the restaurant that made them feel good over the place that has slightly better food.
Oh yeah. Oh, totally. I think that's a really good point. I mean, yeah. Anyway, story on story that's like popping in my mind right now. That's like validating exactly what you're saying. I think that it's and data shows that people will pay more for a better customer experience, right?
Yes, and absolutely.
I guess, you know, not to be like a commercial or anything, but that's part of the reason why I started Ovation, right? Was because you have these people who they come in and they're like, okay, well, we know that customer experience is the most important thing, but how do we measure it? How do we like repair it? How do we build it? And so, you know, that's why we started Ovation. But end of the day, I feel like what you're doing and connecting these consumers with these pizza entrepreneurs and really driving home the fact that it's that individualistic experience and it's the context of it, I think just makes so much sense. I think it's so cool, Scott. So a couple last questions. One, how do you stay skinny if you eat so much pizza?
People think pizza is a fattening food. It's only fattening if you put a bunch of crap on it. It's I eat pizza all the damn time, and if it's made properly, then you'll be fine.
Well, my problem isn't the fact I think it's unhealthy. My problem is the fact that it's so good. I can't eat like 1, 2, 3 slices. Like I eat like half a pie. I mean, like that's my problem. Is it's just too good. I can't. My last slice of pizza. That's my dessert, right? It's so good. It's like I'm just gonna have that last slice as a dessert.
Look, when you're in New York, you're moving around so much anyway. Being active is helpful. You know, that long fermentation on your dough with lower amounts of meats and cheeses on top of the pizza, it's all fine. When you're eating that pizza that tastes like it's bad for you, it's probably not that good for you. When you're, you know, you feel it, you know it.
Yeah. And so what would be your final word of advice for our listeners, viewers?
Wow, my word of advice for like pizza eating?
For restaurant owners, operators.
Oh man, it's the big advice is everybody's in a real pickle right now, and just use the thing about yourself that nobody else can be, which is your personality. Food is not the only thing right now that people are buying. They wanna support people, you know, like be the brand, the restaurant, the reputation that people want to support.
I love that. So here are my key takeaways. One, step outside yourself. In this whole pandemic, it's really easy to turn inside and look at woe is me. Best way to solve that is turn around, help someone else. Slice out hunger is one great way to do that. So thanks for setting that up. Two, find out what you love and do it. Man, I love that, Scott, that you just like, hey, you know what? I love pizza. I love people. I love history. Let's like put this together and do it. I love that, man. The chutzpah that you have to do something like that is admirable. Three, I like the fact that you said pizza is really about you, right? Like you do you. And it's okay that people like different kinds of pizza. It's okay that people are different than us, you know? And I just love that inclusiveness you're preaching about. Four, people find out what people want to buy and sell it. Things are different. If your menu, if your brand, if your restaurant is the same as it was 6 months ago, sir, madam, you are far behind, right? Like, find out what is the new normal and get up to speed with it. And then lastly, as in the famous words of Dr. Seuss, no one is youer than you, right? Be that brand. Scott, how do people find you, follow you?
They can follow me online at Scott's Pizza Tours on Instagram, Scott's Pizza Tour on Twitter. The best thing is go to the website, scottspizzatours.com or sliceouthunger.org.
Love that. Okay. Well, for being such a rock star, for bringing that cheesy goodness, gooey, lovely awesomeness to America, to New York, I appreciate you. Today's ovation goes to you, Scott. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise, man. Glad you're with us today, and thank you. Thank you to the risk takers, the troublemakers, the crazies who are keeping this world clothed and fed. You're the ones who deserve an ovation. Again, this podcast was sponsored by Ovation. To see how we can help you grow your business, go to ovationup.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And as always, remember to give someone in your life an ovation today.